Shout out to Olympic champion Simone Biles. Looks like she belongs.
Mad Radio, good morning. Sports Radio 610 on this 13th day of December. Best broadcasting blunders of the year at 9:15. The Texans play the Jaguars on Sunday. Point spread has gone down from 12 points to 11.
Oh, yeah. How's that taste?
Aaron Rodgers is back. He has been medically cleared. Rockets will go for 11 wins in a row when they host Dwight Howard and the Hornets tonight. So that's your quick recap of what's going on right now in sports. We like Jalen Ramsey because even though he can be kind of annoying at times, he makes the NFL and he makes the division more interesting. And we always need things. We always need people and storylines to make things more interesting.
He needs a plus. You need a foil, I guess. Is that the right word? You need somebody to challenge DeAndre Hopkins, and he has an apt, an able challenger. This is twice a year we're going to get to watch these guys go at it for a long time. Hopefully.
Twice last year, yeah. Once in week one, didn't really go so well, but that wasn't because of this matchup specifically. Jalen Ramsey, the star second-year cornerback for the Jaguars out of Florida State, was asked by Darren Woodson to play some kind of a word association, and the name that came up was DeAndre Hopkins.
That's one of my favorite matchups, just because I get to play him twice a year. Physical guy, hands crazy strong, easily top five receiver in the league, big playmaker for that team, and I know he's going to get a lot of the targets, so I like taking on that challenge, taking on that role of covering him in the games.
Who starts the trash talk?
Honestly, he do a good a bit too. We'll throw something out there in the media that we know for a fact the other one will see, and we'll bring that up during the game. Like last year, he probably caught a pass or something. He got up and he said, "Don't ever say Amari Cooper is the best receiver you ever played." And then I went on that like, "Oh, he is. That was a fluke catch." You know what I'm saying? We just keep going back and forth. It's fun though. I like playing DeAndre Hopkins. That's a good battle.
These guys are fun to watch.
Yeah.
Because the physicality, these guys are. Like, it reminds me in a weird way of, like, Charles Woodson and David Boston back in college in, like, the late 90s, like, 96, 97.
Yeah. This is, he wouldn't compare him to Amari Cooper this year. DeAndre's definitely won the Amari Cooper battle this year.
The thing about DeAndre Hopkins is that among NFL stars across the league, he's got to have one of the highest respect factors in that very few people, because, I don't know what to really compare it to, but kind of like Andre in a way, like you're not gonna get too many people who are really critical of DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
He has high respect factor.
The thing about DeAndre, and this is the same thing, sometimes when you go against a guy, regardless of like where DeAndre is ranked among the top five receivers, whatever, you can have that debate all you want. There's something about going against a player that you know, like it's an all day sucker. Like you've gotta fight him every single down. There aren't any easy snaps. DeAndre, compared to some other top receivers, is a little bit like that because it's unconventional, it's unorthodox the way he plays the game. Any ball, whether it's well thrown or poorly thrown, is catchable by him, and you just have to be completely nails, you know, versus like, okay, if you're going against a speed guy and he's on a go route down the sideline and you know, and you're in good position with him, then you've got that down. Like, that's all right. Hey, I won this down. The ball's not coming this way. DeAndre, you just never can tell. And I think that's what defensive backs know. So it's got to be fun preparing for it for the week, because those guys, I'm talking about the right kind of mental attitude, just defensive backs in the NFL were. You know, they're like good hitters. They know they're going to whiff, or they know they're going to lose at times, but they just don't care.
Ramsey's a tremendous player. I said, you remember last year, a year and a half ago, I thought the Cowboys should have taken Ramsey over Ezekiel Elliott. Not anything against Zeke, who I thought was a lock to be a good NFL player or a really good NFL player. I thought he had no weaknesses coming out of Ohio State. I just thought you'd take the defensive back over the running back because Jalen Ramsey's going to be a Jaguar for basically 10, 12 years, whereas a running back, especially nowadays, doesn't have usually nearly that length of time to be a high-level player.
Yeah.
You found this, so there was an article written about Clint Capela.
Yeah, it was Jonathan tonight. Fagan wrote this article about Clint Capela, and talking about just how well he's been integrated into the offense this year and just how magnificent he is in the pick and roll with Harden. And there's some good quotes by Capela. So yeah, I encourage everybody to go out and buy the paper. But there was one, they interviewed James Harden about it. And now when Harden is talking about roll, he's not talking about the pick and roll. He's saying R-O-L-E. But in saying this about Clint Capela, and this article is printed on the day in which Dwight Howard is coming to town, he gets it. He understands it. He knows what his role is, and he knows how to perfect that role and be the best he can be in that role in order for our team to be great. Some people just don't understand that. Every night he has to go out there and protect the rim, rebound the basketball, run the floor, and finish. That's a big role for our team. Is that any shot at Dwight, or is he just saying that some people don't get that in terms of just some players or some younger players perhaps don't get it?
I think it could be construed that way.
I mean, do you remember, Mike, do you remember how many possessions the Rockets would waste trying to feed Dwight his touches in the low post, like, because he had to have those, and versus inferior opponents, it'd be great. Versus good opponents, sometimes at this late advanced stage of his career, they'd be wasted possessions, and just how much it messed up the entire flow.
I think it's good. I think sometimes, well, a lot of times in basketball, to win at the highest level, you need to have the right mix, and having the right mix is just brutally difficult because, you know, Daryl Morey's talked about how you want to add star players, even if sometimes the fit may not be ideal, because the best way to win is to have as much talent as possible. And then the question comes, okay, do you have the right coach? Do the personalities, you know, do they mesh well?
Yeah.
Does it mix? It made perfect sense when they signed Dwight back in 2012. But when you look at it now, with the benefit of hindsight, and obviously, listen, I'm not going to sit here and say the combination didn't work, because they got to the Western Conference Finals. They won a lot of games in the regular season. I think they were unlucky to lose to Portland that one year when Lillard hit the game-winning three. But I think sometimes for a player like James Harden, the way he operates offensively, having a presence like Dwight and the stature of a player like Dwight Howard makes things a bit tricky for him, in that he has to defer to him a little bit because he's Dwight Howard. With Clint Capella is the kind of guy, if he's playing well, then you'll feed him the basketball, especially on those pick and rolls, all the lobs that we see. But if he's not, then you don't have to defer to him.
But you know what? This is the interesting part, though, too, because Dwight got a lot of criticisms for not being a guy that was going to run the floor just constantly and be all about the pick and roll all the time. But I think, too, this is something that people don't understand. People, honestly, they don't understand how hard it is for big guys to run. Even if you're good at running, like, they really, because I've been relatively skinny and I've been 320 pounds. Like, the difference in conditioning just with mass alone, it's so crazy. Like, and it's just so hard that I think sometimes you look at Capella, who's smaller than Dwight, and because of that, has disadvantages versus big men at times. Still, he still has a physically immature body. He's not all that tall, and his size is at a disadvantage sometimes. So even a smaller guy like Clint Capella can only handle about 24 minutes a night now, because he can't run like that all the time. And so I think some of the criticism of Dwight, I think it's as simple as he probably never wanted to come out and be like, look, I get tired running that much. I just need to, you know, let me park down here every now and then.
I'm always a little bit empathetic to the big guy, to that kind of big man, because I've always thought that to involve them, you gotta give them a little bit. And when things were going really poorly 2 years ago, one of the opinions I really liked, I had lunch with a friend of mine, he was like, why don't they just start off every first quarter and third quarter, just give Dwight one or two touches?
That's what they were doing, though, remember? They would do that.
I don't think they did. Like, I think they stopped doing that 2 years ago.
Well, oh, no, you're right. They did 2 years ago in his last year here, and it was because by that point, Dwight, his knees were, remember, it looked like he was running around on stick legs. And I remember Alex Del Barrio had left, like, Alex Del Barrio wasn't here for part of the season, and then came back and was perplexed by the way they were handling Dwight. And it was that I don't think Alex wasn't here when he saw Dwight trying to play like a guy that still had strong legs or fresh legs, because he wasn't that guy anymore. And I think that's what was lost sometimes. People are hypercritical about the Rockets with Dwight here, and they act like the last 3 months of his time here was what it was like the entire time. And they forget the first couple years and how good it was with him.
It's so complicated, Seth, it gives me a headache. Because remember, in the first year against Portland, that first round, there were times where he dominated Robin Lopez. I mean, they'd give him the ball like 10 times in a row, and he'd score. So it's complicated because he was good early, and then he got hurt the next year, and he missed 40 games, but the team was really good. But then Dwight came back for the playoffs, and he was really good against the Clippers, especially on defense. And then the next year after that, it was a mess, and the whole team was a mess. It's complicated. It just gives me a headache when I think about it.
Dwight's Dwight's gonna be back here tonight. Don't boo him. I'll tell you this.
I like Dwight Howard. Yeah. I've actually appreciated Dwight, and I think that now I understand that having him is kind of a headache because of the way he's handled nationally, and sometimes he can be a bit much. But I always actually kind of enjoyed Dwight Howard. Coming up next, best broadcasting blunders of 2017. This is Mad Radio.